Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
We're going to talk about a word that is very important in your life that we thought in our life for a long time was a bad word. It's actually a good word, and that word is... ding, ding, ding. No. Up there it goes. Thank you for being on time, Light. You're so good to me. You know, we want to have cake for dinner when we're four. And it's like, Mommy, can I have cake for dinner? And Mom's answer is?
No.
And then we're like, hey, can the dog eat off my plate with me? I'll eat off this side. He'll eat off that side. The answer is?
No.
Mom, can my boyfriend spend the night?
No. Hmm?
I was told no so many times in my life when I was little. The lady down the street was telling her kids no, and I thought she was calling my name. We think no, and we're raised to think that no is a bad word, but how many of you know that as you have children of your own and they want cake instead of food, or they want to stay up too late and you know they're going to be tired and crabby, or they want to do things that aren't safe or healthy for them, you tell them no because you love them, right? No in life, and this is important, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. No in life so many times is actually waiting for a better yes. No doesn't mean you're deprived of something. No means you're waiting for the best yes in your life. And we're scared to make no a regular part of our vocabulary a lot of times when people ask us to do things because we are people pleasers. How many of you want to please people? You want to make them happy. You want them to approve of you. You don't want to be rejected. You want to be included in what's going on in life. We have this tendency in ourselves to want to please people to the point where it makes us a little crazy. Like, when I'm in the lobby, they're like, I need you to go to the graduation. I need you to dedicate our building. I need you to dedicate my baby. I need you to go to my wedding. I need you to go to the rehearsal dinner. Well, your wedding's at 2. My wedding can be at 6, and we can do both of them. And she doesn't have to be at church until 6:30. And you know, oh, you want to say yes to everybody, and you're like, oh, no, I have to tell somebody no. And it stresses you out. It happens to you. They want you to drive in the carpool minivan thing. They want you to coach the soccer team. They want you to be the room mother. They want you to do the overtime at work. They want you to take on the extra report. They want you to continue your education. And your kids want you to take you to the carnival and Six Flags. And at some point, you have to say
no.
Because otherwise, there's a song that's now in my head. You make me crazy. You make me crazy. How many of you, life can get on the edge of driving you crazy?
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that people want us to do. Oh, crazy reminds me of a joke. So there's this doctor making his rounds in the hospital, and he walks in one room, and there's a guy sawing an invisible log in half on the floor. The other guy is actually hanging from the ceiling from his toes. And he looks at the one guy and says, Pat, what you doing this morning? Pat says, Doc, can't you see? I am sawing this log in half. Very hard at work here. He's like, oh, okay, that's great. What's George doing? He said, George is a little interesting. He thinks he's a light bulb. Don't tell him. He said, well, I see George's face is turning red. Don't you think we should ask him to get down, Pat? Pat says, and work in the dark? What I love about that is that we think other people are crazy for putting so much pressure on us and for expecting us to do all these things and to be perfect in every situation. And yet we're crazy enough to say yes to the things that they keep asking us to do. Look at your neighbor and say, that makes me crazy. Oh, come on. Y'all had coffee. I know you did. The portico was telling me they ran out of coffee beans because y'all would be drinking so much. So look at your neighbor and say, that makes me crazy. And say back to him, say, just say no. Just say no. You see, I have a couple friends, and this one friend, well, I have two friends. That makes me sound so popular. I have a friend who called me this week. He is running a business. He runs several businesses, and he actually feels led and called to start another business. In this business, he has this guy he's been training up underneath of him, and this guy, he wants to actually have run this whole business for him. Guy doesn't know that yet. Except for this guy, he's in a staff meeting saying rude things about the leader in the staff meeting in front of him, saying things in front of a client he shouldn't be saying, just disrespecting him right and left. So he pulled the guy aside, and he's like, look. He's like, you cannot do this to me. You cannot say this. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for the company. You got to quit it. And the guy got mad at him and started giving him the cold shoulder. At which point he called me and he's like, man, I'm really thinking I need to call him back and tell him, you know what, I shouldn't have been hard on you. I shouldn't have told you that. It's okay. Don't worry about it. At which point I felt obligated to tell him, no. I said, this no is so much bigger than just you. You see, when we don't say no, the reward is smaller for us and smaller for the other people. You see, if he says no to coaching that guy, to correcting that guy's going to stay on that level that he's on now, and he's not going to grow and become a stronger leader and a better businessman and raised up to business and be promoted to running that business. If he doesn't tell him no, that guy's going to stay here. And if he doesn't tell that guy no, he's not going to be able to turn that business over to him and start a whole nother business and grow this thing over here. When we don't say no, the reward is smaller for us and smaller for others. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like a big life. That reminds me of another song that I'm not going to sing right now because I'm not sure it's appropriate in church. I like big stuff and I cannot lie. No. I said stuff because I like to think I'm thick but not there. Just a whole thing right there. Proverbs 29:25. That's how you get out of it. You go straight to scripture. Proverbs 29:25 in the Message version said, the fear of human opinion disables. The fear of what humans think of us, that person, the people, the team, the teacher, the boss, the husband, the family, the people at the school, with the fear of what they think of us, it disables us. It makes us anxious. It makes us not be able to sleep. So how do we get out of it? The rest of that scripture says, trusting in God protects you from that. How do we get protected from people? By trusting in God. That means knowing that his answer in a situation might be different than the answer we want to give the people. And that's where it gets tight, but it's right. You see, we want to answer people and say, we want to say yes, and we get in fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind. God has given us the power to say no to situations that please people. Proverbs 29:25 in the King James Version, it says, fearing people is a snare. The NLT says it's a dangerous trap that's laid out there by the enemy to steal our time, to steal our resources, to steal our mental capacities, to emotionally drain us, to take all of those things away for us so we're not prepared for the things that God has for us. We have to not walk in fear of what other people think of us, but we have to walk in faith in what God tells us to do. So many times when we say no to people, we're able to say yes to God. We think of no as a negative word, but no is actually, every time we say no, we are saying yes to something else. And I think a very good example of that is cake. How many of you guys like cake? I like cake. What's your favorite kind of cake? Like, is it strawberry shortcake? Strawberry shortcake. Birthday cake. Chocolate cake. Ooh, chocolate cake is popular. I'm going to go tiramisu. Jesus, I feel the anointing when I say that word. Tiramisu. So pretend your favorite cake is in front of you right now. Can you see it? So if your favorite cake is in front of you right now, how many of you want a piece of cake? Say yes to the cake. Yes. All right. So how many of you want to be fit and trim? Say yes. Okay, so we can't say yes to the cake and yes to being fit and trim. Saying yes to the cake means saying no to being fit and trim. That doesn't sound like any fun. But saying no to the cake means saying yes to being fit and trim. So no cake, yes fit and trim. Yes cake, no fit and trim. No over here means yes to something else. If you say, no, I can't help with the things you have going on in your life, you create more space to do something else. Every no, within every no, is contained a yes. And so those no's that we're worried about giving people, we can't worry about those because those are actually the keys to the yeses that we need in our life. Some of the things that happen is like, well, we're afraid that we won't get a man, so, or a spouse, or that person, so I'm a girl, so I'm going to say man. So if you're a guy, you think girl when I say man, because if I say girl, that's weird. That was funny. Y'all are scaring me today. So if you're afraid you're not going to get a man, so you keep the one you have and you know he's no good for you, the answer to that is
no.
If you're afraid all the good ones are gone, so you'll just get that married one because he's paying attention to you, the answer to that is
yes.
If you think, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, I should just give up and live alone and be miserable, the answer to that is if you think you're not smart enough to start the business, so you stay in that job, that dead-end job where you're not happy, the answer is if you think you don't measure up and so you don't even apply for the promotion and you stay where you're at, the answer is
no.
No. Y'all are so not dogmatic. Y'all are the nicest crowd I've had today. At Earth City, I'm like, and the answer is they're like, no. And my hair went. Y'all are like, no. Y'all are so professional and polished at this. I love it because it makes me think that you are fearless enough to say no. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to trust in him, to pray about things, to know what he wants for us so we can be fearless enough to say no to the enemy, no to the inner me, and no to what's not right for me. Praying and asking him about everything. We can't be worried about what people think about us and expect to be what God wants us to be. Not everybody in the world isn't even happy with God. Some people last night were praying for the Blues. No Bruce fans. All right, y'all, I gotta sit down. Y'all are scaring me. Are y'all okay today? Because we just gotta know. Like, y'all are quiet. And I just wanna know, are y'all good? Because you make me nervous up there. The heart sweater. God has a word for you in your life. He wants you to live a bigger life than you're living right now. You say, well, I don't need a bigger life. No, you might not need a bigger life for you, but you need a bigger life for him. Because it's not always about us, it's about the call that's on our life. And I actually wanted to launch into a story about Jonah for you right now, because Jonah, it's not a story, it's actually a historical account. You see, Jonah in the Bible, in Jonah 1, verse 1, he says that he is supposed to go to Nineveh. So let me read that to you real quick. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh. Those are very important words. We wouldn't remember those because those come back up in a minute. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. How many of you know that does not sound like a party? You see, Nineveh is a nation of warriors, a city of warriors, mean, barbaric people. So he says, hey, I want you to go to these really mean gangsta downtown in that place that the police don't even go. I want you to go and yell at the top of your lungs, y'all are going to hell in a handbasket on the express train. How many of y'all would not want to do that? So this is basically the assignment that Jonah gets when he goes into God. And Jonah does not like it. So what he says, so Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. So he went down to Joppa, this city, gets on a boat, and heads to Tarshish. Here's the thing. Nineveh is over here. Tarshish is way over here. It's like as far from Nineveh as you can get. Here's the challenge that you and I have. When God tells us to do something that looks too tight, it's too skinny, it's too hard, and we don't want to do it, what we do is we kind of turn our back on it and we go way over here. There's Christians that leave church because they don't like what said. There's people who leave friendships because they don't like what is said. There are people who stop reading the Bible because they don't like what it said. But I'm here to tell you this morning, those things that God tells you to do, you can write this down. They are never for less. They are always for more. The grace of God that looks so tight in that moment will expand for you as you go into that place. Jonah doesn't want to go there because he thinks he's going to get killed. So instead, he gets on this boat. And when he gets on this boat starts going through and there's a storm. Oh, that is a whole story that can preach right now. Oh, he's not over there. There is a whole story that goes right there, because when you get out of the will of God, you head directly for a storm in your life. And so if things are bumpy and wavy and they don't feel good right now, I'm here to tell you, look back and see what the last thing that God told you to do was, and work on heading back into that place. Because that storm is an indicator of God saying, look at me, I'm trying to get your attention. I've got some safety and security for you. You're just in the wrong place. God's yes is always on the earth. God is constantly telling you yes, even if you're hearing a no. God has blessing for you on the earth. God has opportunity for you on the earth. God has peace for you on the earth. God has joy for you on the earth. It's in this place right here, in this yes zone, that God, give God a hand clap of praise. I ain't preaching anymore till y'all clap good. I'm tired. I can't clap. I stayed up late watching the Blues game. I can't even cheer for them right now. I got news for you. The Blues won. That's as good as it gets, y'all. We lost the Rams. Somebody better cheer. I don't like hockey. I'm Canadian. I don't like hockey either. Don't tell anybody. I think I get disowned by Canada. It's a good thing I live here. I like you. You laugh at me. So there is a blessing, though. There is a yes zone for God. Here's the thing. Just like Jonah, when God is telling us, here is yes, here is my blessing, here's where I want you to be, but it's too tight for us to be there, we go over here on Nineveh, and we get in a storm. We're like, God, I don't understand why my life is so hard, and I'm just so disappointed in you, and you always tell me no, and why can't you just answer my prayers? And God's like, I am answering your prayer. Have you looked on Facebook lately? What are you talking about, God? Remember that guy that you dated and he crushed you when he told you he didn't want to go out with you anymore. Yes, look him up on Facebook. Oh, he's fat, ugly, bald, poor, nasty, mean, and all he puts is terrible stuff on Facebook, and he just went to jail for killing 3 people. Thank you, God, for not letting me stick with that man. Garth Brooks, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't know the next line, but it's something about the man upstairs. We hear no from God, and we get upset about it in the moment. We stomp our feet, and we keep asking. The Bible says it's not that God doesn't want to answer your prayers. It's that you ask amiss. You see, my daughter, she'll come up to me. Our kids do this, right? Mom, I want to go to the carnival. No. Mom, can I go to the carnival? No. Mom, please, can I go to the carnival? No. Mom, I want to go to the carnival? No. Please, can I go to the carnival? No. Mom, I want to go to the carnival? No. Mom, can I go to the carnival for 30 minutes? That's funny. Our kids, we tell them no and they wear us down. We tell them no, they wear us down. How many of you, your kids do that to you and you wear down and you eventually tell your kids yes? How many of you, you guys are scared to tell your kids no because it's just not worth the hassle sometimes? You just give them a yes even when you don't want to. I love him. He's 10. He's raising his hand. I tell my kids yes. I'm leading my parents, telling them how to think. I love that preacher. Mom, can we go back to that church? She told you to tell me yes. Our kids wear us down when we tell them no, and we hate it, and it drives us nuts. But over here, it's the exact same thing we do to God. God says no. God, I really want that man. No, 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 fine, I'm going to go get him myself. He's like, I hope you like what you got. That happened to me in my first marriage. How many of you know when you look back on a situation, hindsight's 20/20, and you wish you could have seen that before? There were indicators before I got married the first time that I didn't catch, that there were tendencies of abuse there. There were tendencies of possessiveness that should have tipped me off a little bit. But no, I couldn't believe that some man was going to want me, because, I mean, I had baggage, right? And that's what we do. We do that. We think, oh, I don't think I deserve him, and I know he's maybe not what I want or not what I need, or maybe I shouldn't, and I should tell him, but I'm going to go anyway. Then you find yourself smack dab in the middle of a relationship, and you know you're not really getting along, or you know it's hard, or you guys don't get along for 2 weeks in a row. If you are dating and you need counseling, this is an indicator that life is going to be tough when you get married, because you don't live together, you don't split your money, you don't split your food, you don't split your time, you don't decide what movie you're going to watch together all the time. If you are dating and getting counseling, go ahead and just press pause on the relationship. It's going to save you a lot of time. Somebody write that down and thank me for it later. But we get in the relationship, things aren't smooth, and we should say
no,
but we don't want to hurt their feelings. Then the engagement proposal comes, and we don't really want to say yes, but then we think to ourselves, I don't know if anybody else will ask. Or a guy thinks, I don't know if anybody else will say yes, so I better ask that one, when our answer should be
no.
Then we end up 5 years later with 2 kids, and in order to get out of the situation, it would mean divorce. You lose half your stuff, you lose half your money, you lose half your heart, and you lose half the time with your kids, when really one well-placed early in that could have saved you so much trouble. Take it from me, I ended up right in the middle of this situation. I thought I'd thank you very much for my honesty, man. I'm just all bare out here telling y'all how I've messed up. I said yes to a man. I loved him, and I couldn't believe he loved me. I saw these things, and now that it's past later in life, I know that I saw these things, but I overlooked them. So what happened is he cried as I walked down the aisle. Oh, you're the most beautiful bride I've ever seen, he said. And he wipes his tears. It makes me cry. I wipe my tears. We go on our honeymoon. We come back. Life is so wonderful. And 3 weeks into our marriage, the dude disappears for 4 days. That was the day, April 18th, 1995. That is the day he disappeared and did crack for the first time and went on his first crack binge. It was my birthday. It was the Oklahoma City bombing. I'll never forget it. It was awesome. Oklahoma City got bombed, and so did my heart. You see, that's when he became abusive. That's when rehab started. That's when we kept going in and out. That's when he started selling all our stuff and I had to keep buying it back from the pawn shop. That's when my rib got cracked. That's when my C7 got herniated. That's where there was a moment where he put a loaded gun in my mouth and his hand was on it. And how many of you know you don't want somebody high on crack with a loaded gun in your mouth? That is not a good place to be. God had all of this in mind when he was telling my heart, no. He wanted to miss that. Now, I love this man. I'm stuck in this situation, and I'm in a place where I either have to say no to this relationship, and it cost me a bankruptcy, it cost me my house, it cost me my job, it cost me pretty much everything I owned, and it cost me my heart. It felt like my heart was being scooped out of my chest one spoonful at a time because I couldn't figure out why he couldn't love me more than he loved a drug. And I want to tell you right now, if you're with an addict, if you're married to an addict, it's not that they're choosing between you and the drug. It's that darkness has such a grip on them, they can't see anything in life but this darkness. And it's not about you at all. It's about the enemy having them bound. I didn't know that at the time. Nobody had told me that. And I was losing my heart even in the relationship. And God wanted me to say no and get out of the abuse so that I didn't end up dying. Hardest no of my life. But that no led to so many fantastic yeses. That no led to a yes whose name is David Crank. And we've had 19 years in October of fabulous marriage. And I'm here to tell you that man is a man. He's a mighty good man. Mighty, mighty. Ooh, Jesus. Saying no to that hard spot. But here's where I was. I was on the ground. I was crying. I was torn apart. I couldn't see a future at all. I don't know. I'm like, this is as bad as it gets. This is as low as it goes. How can it possibly get good from here? And that's where we're at. But God's not down here. God is way up here and he's looking down. He's like, hey, sunshine, just say yes to me and come over here. This is my yes zone, my blessing zone. And when you come get in here, oh, it is so good. You're going to love it. You're going to do a praise dance. You're going to say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to be willing to tell your junk on a stage in front of everybody, and they might think you're crazy, but that's okay. They're lazy. And that God gave me David, God gave me Ashton, God gave me a father to my single son who needed him, who raised him in the ways in the household of God, became a campus pastor. And God led me into this call on my life to actually lead other people. If you would have told me when I was in this position that I could lead other people to Christ, I would have told you, you were crazy. God, yes, is so good, we cannot even comprehend it with anything that is inside of us. God has a best yes for you, and it is contained inside of some strategically placed no's. So when Jonah goes off the ship, he gets thrown off. They're on the ship. It's a storm. And the people on the ship are like, what's going on? We've never seen a tempest like this. And Jonah says, hey, y'all, I know that I'm completely out of the will of God and I am your problem. They said, awesome, we're throwing you off the ship, which is really interesting. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was going to get killed. So he tells God no, makes his own decision, and he gets himself in a position where he's going to get killed. You see, we think we're going to get killed in Nineveh, but when you go to see the end of the story, he didn't get killed. He was actually the delivering voice of these people. He thought they would kill him when they said, you guys have to change or God is coming to rain wrath on this city. We want you to miss it. And I am here to tell you, this isn't my message, so I'm going to step off here because it ain't my real message. I'm telling you right now, y'all, America's in a hot mess. And we need to pray for our country, because when there's a few praying people, we can change a land and we can change a nation. So make sure in your prayer time you're praying for this country every single day, because we don't want to live in a Nineveh that is going to be judged by God. And I'm telling you, God's judgment. So, okay, so that's how this works back in. Over here, God's judgment. The storm, right? He needs to get Jonah's attention. God needs to get America's attention. You might be in a storm and a light in your life right now. I'm telling you, God is trying desperately to get your attention. Why are my feet like this? That is so weird. Looks like my leg is broken. Sorry, ADD. Okay, so God is trying to get your attention to say, I have a better way for you. So he's trying to get America's attention. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get Jonah's attention. So Jonah is in this storm, and it looks like he's going to get the very fate that he ran from. Except Jonah 1:17. Jonah 1:17, it says, now the Lord prepared a great fish, and it wasn't for dinner. That was funny too. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You see, God knew that Jonah wasn't going to be in his blessing zone, and he was going to be over here, out of his zone. Even in the middle of a no, even in the middle of a storm, Revelation 22:13 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God goes way out before us with his grace and goes way out before us with his mercy. God is good. Give him praise for his grace and his mercy. He goes way out before us, and in that place, he prepared a way of escape, even when he's totally out of the will of God. Even when I was totally out of the will of God, I was married to the wrong man, living in the wrong city, doing the wrong things, and he still prepared a way of escape for me out of that life without the trigger being pulled, without permanent damage in my body. I escaped with my life, and I escaped with my freedom, and I escaped whole, y'all. God has prepared a way of escape, and he prepared a whale for Jonah to come and swallow him up and carry him to safety. There was a big mouth in his future that saved his life, and here I am today. I am your big mouth whale. If my husband calls me that, it will not go well for him. But I am your big mouth whale today to say there is mercy for you in that storm. There is grace for you in that storm. There is mercy for you if you're in that place of no, that you want to get back to his yes. God wants you in the middle of his blessing. And in our last couple minutes together, as Jonah comes up and he gets out onto the land, he spit out and he's white and he's tired. And he says, while I was in the belly of the whale, I was crushed so much I could barely breathe. I find that interesting, because the storm was Jonah's fault. The whale was the grace and the mercy of God. But as the grace and the mercy of God were delivering him, he felt so crushed he could barely breathe. And I believe right now I'm talking to some certain people. You feel crushed right now that you can barely breathe because you don't like the word I'm saying about no. It sounds hard, it sounds tight, it sounds constricting, but I'm here to tell you, I'm gonna give you a few things real tight and real straight, because I only got about a minute and 30 seconds. Tithing, trusting God with your money, is the yes zone. Outside of that is the storm. Wow. Serving. If you've been at Faith Church more than 6 months and you're not a greeter in the coffee shop, in the nursery, on the cleaning team, doing something, ushering, you're not in the yes zone giving some of your time today to God. He said, better is one day in his house than 1,000 elsewhere. If you want time in your life, you sow time. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me salvation. If you want a long, satisfied life, you sow time. If you want finances in your life, you sow finances. If you want love in your life, you sow love. If you want friendship in your life, you sow friendship. If you want some dude to flip you off in traffic, just flip him off first. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. So Jonah felt constricted, and I believe some of you feel right now constricted by this truth. But it was that very truth that delivered him to the place he was supposed to go. And in Jonah 3:2, there were some words I told you to remember about Jonah 1:2. And it says his original thing was to arise and go to Nineveh. So Jonah comes out and he says, God, what do you want me to do? And in Jonah 3:2, it says, arise and go to Nineveh. God's plan for us doesn't change the whole time. He says, here's my blessing zone. Here is my yes. It's going to take you some strategic no's to get there, but inside of that no is my best yes, my plan and future I have for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've been in a place of no, maybe you're in the storm. You might be in the belly of the whale at this very moment. And you know that there's a yes out there for God that you need to move towards, and you want me to pray for you to have the courage, the strength, and the power to get there. Would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for, please? Father God, in the name of Jesus, with most every hand in the building raised right now, God, I pray your power. God, I ask you for mercy and grace. God, forgive us right now for not moving in the right direction, not seeing where you wanted to go. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe we just didn't see it. Maybe we don't even know how we got here, God. But we ask you to reveal that truth to us. And Father, right now, intentionally, we take a step towards you. And every time we take a step towards you, God, you come running towards us because you're a good, good Father. And I speak to that person right now that has felt crushed, persecuted. They felt abandoned, God. Make your presence known unto them. God, we reach our hands to heaven this morning. And as we reach our hands to heaven, God, you flow down mercy and you flow down grace. You flow down ability. You flow down the wisdom of God. You flow down the knowledge of God. And God, as your children, we thank you for it. We call you great and wonderful and power and mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We open up.